President Obama is now addressing the nation. A budget deal has been reached. Let's pick this up.
Education and student loans, and clean energy and life-saving medical research. We protected the investments we need to win the future. At the same time, we also made sure that at the end of the day, this was a debate about spending cuts, not social issues like women's health and the protection of our air and water. These are important issues that deserve discussion, just not during a debate about our budget. I want to thank Speaker Boehner and Senator Reid for their leadership and their dedication during this process. A few months ago, I was able to sign a tax cut for American families because both parties worked through their differences and found common ground. Now the same cooperation will make possible the biggest annual spending cut in history. And it's my sincere hope that we can continue to come together as we face the many difficult challenges that lie ahead, from creating jobs and growing our economy to educating our children and reducing our deficit. That's what the American people expect us to do. That's why they sent us here. A few days ago, I received a letter from a mother in Longmont, Colorado. Over the year, her son's eighth grade class saved up money and worked on projects so that next week they could take a class trip to Washington, D.C. They even have an appointment to lay a wreath on the tomb of the unknown soldier. The mother wrote that for the last few days, the kids in her son's class have been worried and upset that they might have to cancel their trip because of a shutdown. She asked those of us in Washington to get past our petty grievances and make things right. And she said, "Remember, the future of this country is not for us. It's for our children. Today we acted on behalf of our children's future. And next week, when 58th graders from Colorado arrive in our nation's capital, I hope they get a chance to look up at the Washington Monument and feel the sense of pride and possibility that defines America, a land of many that has always found a way to move forward as one." Thank you.
That was President Barack Obama addressing the nation with the news that a budget deal has been reached. We are here at Friday night, 8 minutes after the hour, live, about 52 minutes away from what would have been a shutdown of the U.S. federal government. But the president said that a budget deal has been reached with leaders of both parties. Americans will get their paychecks on time. Folks in the U.S. military will get their paychecks on time. He did not go into great detail other than to say that these are the largest annual spending cuts in our nation's history and that some of the cuts will be painful. And yet, he says, we protected investments needed to win the future, which, as you know, he's been saying a lot lately. The cuts that were being held hostage, frankly, by the Republicans to Planned Parenthood and to gut the EPA were averted in this deal, whatever this deal is. And I believe they'll be extending, they'll have a continuing resolution which will extend things for 4 days, 3 or 4 days, I'm not sure. Was it 5, 7? Well, okay, we missed that. We're not sure. But a number of days until they can sort of do the paperwork, write up this bill, and then get it passed quickly in both houses of Congress. That's the news. That's the breaking news. We averted a shutdown before we went off the air this week. Good. You're listening to The Mike Molloy Show. I am Brad Friedman, your friendly citizen blogger, investigative journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, and apparently news anchor this evening here on the Mike Molloy Show. That's good news. All right, moving on now after, I guess it's good news. It's good news that the government isn't shutting down. It's good news that Desi Doyen, our producer here tonight, gets to go to the National Park in a week or two, as she had planned. All right, we're going to get to your calls, more of your calls in a minute, and I will have a special, I don't want to call it a special comment, but a word or two about what's going on in Wisconsin, some news, some updates from this remarkable debacle that has occurred in the Wisconsin Supreme Court race that we talked about at great length and in great detail yesterday. Some new news today, tonight. I'll get to that and a few of my own thoughts along with it. And your calls at 877-520-1150. A caller in the last hour had asked about internet voting and why we can't do that. And I went through the reasons why that would be absolutely insane. One reason I didn't mention is that the computer security experts have said we cannot do it. The best computer cybersecurity experts in the nation, in the world, frankly, have said it is not safe. And if you don't believe me, you can go to bradblog.com, type in DC Internet Vote Hack, and find out what happened last November when they tried to do that in the city of Washington, D.C., to use military and overseas voters. They were going to have them do a live internet election. Decided to open it up to a test, a hack test, just days before the election, and that entire system was taken down within minutes, taken down and taken over by white hat hackers in this case. But while those white hat hackers were in the system, they also saw Iranian and Chinese computers trying to do the same thing as well. A couple of years ago, I met with some folks from Estonia who were sort of doing a dog and pony show around the country trying to push this internet voting that they are doing out there. And they were bringing they had a hacker along with them who was, you know, telling people how secure the system is and everything else. And I pulled the hacker aside and I said, this is a lie, isn't it? You can hack this system in a second, can't you? And he said, yep, I sure can. All right. My thoughts on Wisconsin in a moment, but I know a lot of you have been hanging on a long time. So let me try to hit some of these calls. Ellen in Nashville. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, Ellen.
Well, thank you, Brad. I enjoy the show when you fill in very much.
You're very kind.
Brad, I was going to make a big pronouncement, but I was going to ask your wonderful listeners to maybe if they have a chance to Google four words, and they are Obama pledges entitlement reform. And this makes my case, I feel, because this article will come up from the Washington Post editorial board, and it also has a tape, the audio of Obama being interviewed on January 16th, 2009. That's about 5 days before his inauguration.
Right.
And if they would just read this, Obama pledges entitlement reform, they will see it leads off saying he pledges to shape a new bargain, quote unquote, not grand bargain. That's usually what they say. I don't know why that was left out. But with American people, you know, yada yada yada.
What was the pledge for, Alan? To do what?
To reform Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid.
To improve
them? The whole article. Well, he'll say reform and cut back entitlements. See, the words entitlements used.
So why want to point us to this? What does it tell us about?
This is what it tells. This is what my pronouncement is tonight. Yeah. I believe, as a 22-year ex-government employee who's probably did 12 to 15 days in civilian service on furloughs, ones, that's the ones where you don't get your money, because that's what they're for. It's a budgetary tool is all it is for the Department of Defense. They would furlough us to save money, the civilians. Well, anyway, I believe this has been a practice run because there's been almost hysteria. And seriously, Brad, most agencies furlough people from time to time as a budgetary annual thing. It really is not the end of the world, as it's been blown out of proportion by the press.
You mean
the White House for
what would be blown out of if the budget shut down? You're saying it would not be the end of the world?
I mean, it happens in all of our agencies over all these years.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. Routinely, as a budget, maybe they don't all do it in one time. That's true. And here's my big point. This is my little pronouncement, and I'll eat crow the next time you're on if I'm wrong.
Okay.
Well, they're doing this because of the debt ceiling fight that comes up about the first week of May.
Mm-hmm.
They've tried to create hysteria. They're managing it. If you listen to this breathless thing and him coming out, and it's all absurd, believe me. As I said, for the reasons I can't go elaborate more. You wouldn't have time. But it just is way out of proportion, and they're doing it because they plan to do it a second time, and that's when the debt, and the whole thing is to give Obama cover. If you read this article, Obama pledges entitlement reform, you know, or listen to the tape of the audio with him with the Washington Post editorial board, whichever you like to do, if they're both there, you'll see he came in planning to do this, and I believe, because I've read that Saxby Chambliss and Mark Warner, I've read it repeatedly, plan to leverage Erskine Bowles, Alan Simpson plan on is going to, in other words, they're going to say, if you don't adopt the plan, President Obama, White House,
right,
adopt this plan and cut Social Security and do everything they proposed in the moment of truth,
right,
we will not extend the debt ceiling.
Okay.
So this is just leading up,
right,
and it's just a sort of a dry run for the big thing.
Okay, let me, Ellen, you got to take a breath there. So thank
okay.
you. So basically, you're saying that Obama is purposely the one pushing this to the edge. This is not the Republicans holding things hostage, but this
exactly.
is actually Obama doing this, right?
The Kabuki right. theater that the other
there's a lot of Kabuki theater, but I think he would have preferred to have been out of this long ago, because now they're going to have to do it all over for not only the debt ceiling but for the 2012 budget as well. But I take your point, and well done using your public airwaves to get him out there. Thanks, Alan. I do appreciate the call. All right, have a great weekend. I gotta go. I'm sorry. Can I get one more in? Yeah, let me try to get one more in. Mike in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Mike, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. What's on your mind, sir?
Great show. Thanks.
Thank you.
I just wanted to touch with John on the election machine debacle. And you remember in 2004 in Broward County when they started doing the absentee ballots
mm-hmm.
and running them through the voting machines.
Mm-hmm.
In paper form, all of a sudden the machine started reporting votes backwards. They were taking off presidential race as well as taking off votes for the gambling issue that was on the ballot, which made our ballots unique.
Was that are you talking about 2000 or 2004?
2004.
Okay.
Okay, and it was in Broward County.
All right, because I know in Volusia County, of course, in 2000, that, what was it, 16,022 votes in Volusia County were registered, negative 16,022 votes for Al Gore in 2000, and no one to this day, on a Diebold system, by the way, and no one to this day has ever explained why there was negative 16,022 votes in Volusia County. But your point was,
yeah.
and then I got to get to a break, Mike.
Other than they had to change the programming just before, and when you change variables, and for sinister reasons, those variables change other variables that cause errors like this.
There's,
to show up in more than one space.
Yeah, it's child's play, frankly, to hack these systems. We have seen it over and over and over again. When will we do a goddamn thing about it? That's what I'll be talking about coming up next with more of your calls. Brad, in for Mike Malloy.
The world keeps telling me to get a grip or I won't last. Gotta break away from solitude and let go of my past.
Hey, baby, I love you so. Hey, baby, let's go. Let's go sailing on my boat by the light of the silvery moon. By the light of the silvery moon.
Yes. By the light of the silvery moon, a deal has been struck in Washington to avert a federal government shutdown, which is either good news or it's not. Earlier in the show, he spoke with David Dayen. He said the rumor was a $29 billion cut. They did not get into the specifics. Either John Boehner or President Obama, who both spoke within the last hour. But a budget deal has been reached with the leaders of both parties. Barack Obama says some of the cuts will be painful. That's a worry, isn't it? The largest annual spend, and he's the worst negotiator ever. I'm just saying. Just throwing that in here. Largest annual spending cuts in our history. But he says that we protected the investments needed to win the future. We will find out what all of that means, I suspect, in the days ahead, now that they have reached that agreement. Okay, let me get to Bruce, and then I'll give you some news on Wisconsin. Bruce from Santa Paula, California, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show.
Yeah.
What's
hey,
up?
I just called back because I listened to that, the Access
yes.
Database, you know.
The press conference, yeah. What did you make of what Kathy Nicholas had to say?
Well, first of all, the thing that she said about clicking the save button multiple times, there is no save button on Access. It just doesn't exist. The only place it exists is when you're making, you know, internal changes in a form structure or something like that,
mm-hmm.
and then you save those changes. But there is no save button. It just doesn't exist.
So you don't accept her explanation?
Oh, absolutely not. Now, the thing about saving the database, you know, you live close enough to me that we could get together at a coffee shop. I'll bring my laptop. I got Access 2007 on it.
Don't threaten me, Bruce.
And I can actually demonstrate to you, import an Excel spreadsheet and show you how it works.
Right.
I mean, it's just not that. It's basically, if you import, once you've imported that spreadsheet, it's in the table. It's there. You can't not do it. You can't make it not save it.
Right.
You know, I can import it.
Bruce? Can you imagine any way that perhaps she used the wrong words? We'll give her the benefit of the doubt for the moment. Perhaps she used the wrong words. Can you come up with any way that the scenario she explained, where numbers are brought in, don't actually get all the way in before it's printed? Her print selection field in the spreadsheet.
The one comment she made that made a little bit of sense was about the extra columns in the spreadsheet. If they change the name on the columns, then it's possible that data would go to it would still be in the table, but it would not be necessarily in the proper place.
Right.
So that is, there's some little bit of fudge factor there, but the way she explained it was very clear that she imported this Excel spreadsheet and then she didn't save the data in Access.
And she's supposed to be an IT expert of some sort.
Like I said, if you want to see it, I can show it to you.
I got you. No, I believe you, Bruce, and I do got to get...
It's just not that it just doesn't work that way with Access.
I got you, Bruce, and I got to get to a break here.
You know, I know for a fact it can't happen that way.
Gotcha. All right. I do appreciate, Bruce, your calling back and checking on that. Yeah, you're not alone in saying that Kathy Nicholas's explanation simply didn't hold water. And that is why, one of the reasons why, Joanne Kloppenburg's campaign has now announced that they will file open records requests, quote, for all relevant documentation related to the reporting of election results in Waukesha County, as well as to the discovery and reporting of the errors announced by the county. At the same time, the State Government Accountability Board, which oversees elections in Wisconsin, says they are dispatching officials to Waukesha County, to the county clerk's office, to review procedures used in tallying those results of Tuesday's Supreme Court elections. More news on that as we move ahead. Brad Friedman in for Mike.
I keep a close watch on this heart of mine. I keep my eyes wide open all the time. I keep the end.
That's what they keep telling me. Democracy is coming to the USA. They tell us that every year, every 2 years. But if we learn anything from Wisconsin and the Supreme Court election, we don't yet have a real democracy, at least not a citizen overseeable democracy in this country. We learned this once again this week in Wisconsin when suddenly, out of nowhere, with almost no explanation, at least no plausible explanation, Waukesha County Clerk Kathy Nicholas announced 14,000 votes that she didn't know about previously. Well, she knew about them, but nobody else knew about them. And suddenly, a race with 1.5 million votes cast, which had a 204-vote margin, suddenly has a 7,500-vote margin, or just over 7,500 votes. interesting number in that 7,500 votes is just about 0.5% in the gap between Justice David Prosser, who is a supporter of the Republican Governor Scott Walker, and Assistant Attorney General Joanne Kloppenburg. It may put an automated state-sponsored recount just out of reach. Joanne Kloppenburg would have to pay for that recount herself. The question is, why does there need to be a recount in the first place? And why do we use the word recount when the ballots have not actually been counted at all? Yes, they have paper ballots in most of Wisconsin. That's the good news. But they run them through optical scan machines made by Diebold. You know the name. Sequoia. You know the name. ESNS. You know the name. Populex. Systems that are often failed. Systems that are very easily manipulated. The paper runs through the systems and tells us what the result is, and nobody bothers to check it. Nobody bothers to oversee it. In Wisconsin, you can't have a hand count unless you go to court to get a court order for a hand examination of the ballots. Now, with this news that Kathy Nicholas came out with, this Republican activist who is the county clerk who oversees the elections in Waukesha County, that she suddenly found these votes out of nowhere. And by the way, she used to work with Justice David Prosser in the Republican Assembly there. She received she was given a clemency for that's not the word. All of a sudden, I'm losing what the word is. But she was she would not be charged with criminal charges back in 2001 when they were investigating some pretty bad doings there inside the Republican caucus. And in fact, they had to put the Republican caucus out of business because they were doing politicking. On office time. She was let off the hook in exchange for her testimony. These are the people that we are told we should trust. People like Joanne Kloppenburg. People like Kathy Nicholas. People like Kathy Nicholas who keep the election results on their own computer in their own office where nobody else can oversee the process. Election results of paper ballots that have been scanned by computer systems where nobody can see the process. Nobody can tell if they've been counted accurately or not. These are the people that we are told we should just trust. Oh, just trust. Just trust in the process. Now, we have some evidence today, as we spoke about a little bit about earlier in the show, that, in fact, those 14,000 votes that suddenly appeared out of nowhere may not have appeared out of nowhere. That, in fact, there was a newspaper, a small local paper in Brookfield, where these votes were said to have appeared, a report by Lisa Sink of the Brookfield Patch. And she, in fact, posted on election night, a little bit after midnight on April 5th, it would have been the morning of April 6th, 10,859 votes for Prosser, 3,456 votes for Kloppenburg. That's 3, 4, 5, 6 for Kloppenburg. The exact same numbers that Kathy Nicholas announced yesterday. There was no change. These numbers were posted and published, and you can go to bradblog.com and you can see the link to the article. They were posted on Tuesday night. Lisa Sink says that she got these numbers. She told me, because I contacted her today to confirm this, she told me that she got the numbers straight on election night at City Hall from the city clerk's office, typed it up at City Hall, and posted the story at 12:24 a.m. And that's why it says April 6th instead of April 5th. She says she didn't get any results from the county or AP because she only needed the Brookfield City votes for her report. Well, that's good. It gives some confirmation of these numbers. She said what was or was not included in the countywide totals that Nicholas gave to AP on election night, I have no idea. That's according to Lisa Sink. Only Nicholas and maybe AP have that info. Why don't we? Why don't we, the people, have this info? Well, Kathy Nicholas determined that she did not want to include the municipalities in her totals on election night, that she sort of bunched everything together so nobody noticed, nobody knew what was real, what was not. And that was her decision. She made that alone. It made it impossible to have citizen oversight. We are supposed to trust Kathy Nicholas. I don't think we should have to trust anybody in an election. Our system was not built on trust. It was built on checks and balances. And the greatest election officials in this country, like Ion Sancho, who we had from Florida, Leon County, Florida, who we had on this show earlier this week, he will tell you, don't trust me. There's no reason to trust me. There's no reason to trust anyone in an election. If you can't see it, there's no reason that you should accept it. I agree. I have been talking about these stories here on the Mike Malloy Show, on Stephanie Miller Show, all over the radio. At bradblog.com, we have thousands and thousands of pages on this stuff, trying to make this point over and over and over and over. And yet, we still keep these same stupid, secret, proprietary systems, and we allow our election officials to tell us that we don't have to see what's going on, that we should trust them. Back in October of 2005, I was on the air talking about this on my friend Peter B. Collins' show, who, by the way, I'll be on again tonight, up at 1 a.m., KGO, 1 a.m. Pacific time in San Francisco. But back in 2005, I was on the air with the 13-year register of voters in Monterey County, California, with his new voting systems made by Sequoia. He was quite proud of those systems. The systems that were 100% unverifiable and have since been decertified in the state of California, thankfully. But when I was asking him questions about this this system, this 13-year election official, Tony Anchundo, the registrar of Monterey County, California, well, here's the question and his answer from October of 2005.
It sounds like Mr. Anchundo is suggesting that the vote count will actually be taken from the cartridge. So in other words, when one votes and you see that result on that piece of paper, how does a voter or anyone else know that what is actually marked on the cartridge is the same as what's on the paper?
Well, how will the voter know? They won't know, obviously, at that time. There is obviously going to have to be some trust and faith in the elections official, and in this case, it's me.
There obviously has to be some trust and faith in the election official. In this case, it was me. That's Tony Anchundo, the well-respected 13-year Monterey County Registrar of Voters back in October of 2005. A few short months after that interview, in July of 2006, Tony Trust Me Anchundo was charged with 43 criminal counts, including charges of forgery, misapplication of funds, embezzlement, falsification of accounts, and grand theft of nearly $80,000 of county money. Remember, you have to have trust and faith in your election officials. In this case, it would be me, said Tony Anchundo. In December of 2006, Anchundo pleaded no contest to all 43 criminal charges. I am sure Tony Anchundo was a very nice fellow. He seemed very nice. I have no idea, as a matter of fact, what party he was even from. I don't know if he was a Democrat, a Republican. I don't really care. All I know is that after spending all of these years writing thousands of pages at bradblog.com and seeing these same situations happen over and over and over and over again, where we have no idea who won an election, where we are told we are supposed to simply trust in the computers that count these ballots, that we are supposed to simply trust in the election officials. Election officials like Tony Anchundo, who pled no contest to all 43 criminal charges. Election officials like Kathy Nicholas, who says nothing to worry about. I'll keep the computers that have the election results in my office so that nobody else can see it. Because it's more secure that way if only I see it. Security by obscurity. And then when she finds 14,000 votes in one of the most important elections in the state of Wisconsin in years, we're told, oh, it was just an accident. I forgot to hit the save button. But there is no save button in Microsoft Access. But we're supposed to trust her. And we're supposed to trust these machines that count our paper ballots. A lot of people say, oh, well, there's paper ballots. There is nothing to worry about. Yes, there is. If citizens can't oversee it, they can't trust it. If they can't see inside a computer counting these optical scan ballots, there is no reason to trust it. I have been saying this over and over and over for years. Do you really need another 2000 election debacle to hit us in 2012, in 2014, in 2016? 20? When? When is it enough? There is a gold standard for democracy. In the closest elections, when we have no idea who won because it's so close, what do? We hand count the paper ballots in front of the citizenry, in front of the public, in front of the video cameras, so there is no question about who won or lost that election. That is, presuming if the chain of custody for those paper ballots has been secure. And on that, we generally have to, what? Trust the election officials that the chain of custody has been secured. Enough. This is our democracy. This is the lifeblood of this nation. If we can't figure out how to run an election in this country that the supporters of both the winner and the loser believe when they walk away, that the winner and the loser can both believe that the results are accurate, then we don't have a democracy. We need to be able to oversee the counting of our own ballots in our own elections. That is self-governance. That is what is envisioned in our Constitution. And when we are cut out of that process, then we have our democracy has been taken away from us. Enough. Enough. Of course, I can't do it alone. There are a lot of great election integrity advocates out there, but there are not enough. There are not nearly enough. You are needed. And I'm not going to tell you that hand-counted paper ballots at the precinct on election night in front of the people with the results posted at the precinct before the ballots move anywhere. I'm not going to tell you that that is going to work everywhere, every time. I don't know. I'm not going to make the mistake that the voting machine companies made when they came in and said, trust us, this will work. But I know it works in New Hampshire. I know that in New Hampshire, quite often, where in 40% of the towns where they do count by hand, the totals are often done, completed, overseen by everybody in the community without question before the Diebold towns have their results in. I know they can do it in New Hampshire. So I know we can do it elsewhere in this nation. We need pilot programs, hand-counted pilot programs. And you can go to bradblog.com, look up Democracy's Gold Standard, and learn more about this, and take action. And look for Nancy Tobey's book on this from New Hampshire, on verifiable, hand-counted elections, counted by actual people, actual human beings. It ain't that hard. It ain't rocket science. It's democracy. We don't need fancy computers. We don't need secret software. We don't need to trust our election officials. I don't care if they're Republican, if they're Democratic, if they're independent. I don't care. It's not about trust. It's about checks, balance, and oversight. This is not about right and left. It's about right and wrong. I continue to say it for years. I hope you will join me in saying it out there in your local community, because I can't do this alone, and there's not enough of us fighting this fight. This is what matters. This is what matters. Democracy matters. Please go out, educate yourself, go to your county official, ask them, can we have a hand-counted paper ballot pilot program in this county? Do it in a small election. Don't ask too much all at once. Let's learn how to do this. But we need to be able to have transparency, 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 oversight, oversight, oversight for true self-governance in this country. Enough of these supreme debacles like the one we're seeing in Wisconsin and that we seem to see now each and every election. Enough. Democracy's gold standard. It's there. Let's get it. You're listening to Brad on the Mike Malloy Show.
Let's say goodbye with a smile, dear, just for a while, dear, we must part. Don't let this parting upset you, I'll not forget you, sweetheart. We'll meet again, don't know where. Don't know where.
No, we don't, do we?
But I know we'll meet again some sunny day.
Actually, I think June. June is that sunny day when we will be back on the Mike Molloy Show. That's what I'm told. We'll see. Maybe sooner. Of course, if for your late night folks, I'll be on the air in San Francisco at 1 a.m. tonight. You can check that, too. Anyway, my thanks tonight to producer, screener, call room girl. What are you? Producer, screener,
chat room
moderator.
And
goddess.
Sometimes coming in and saying stuff person.
Stuff person. Desi Doyen. Thanks, Des. Been a great week.
You're welcome. Really. And thanks to everybody in the chat room. You guys have been just awesome. Just delightful to hang out with. Thank you so much.
Don't believe her. Not for a second. My thanks also to Tony Sorrentino here at LA's K-Talk AM 1150, who never goes on the air, but I'm going to make him now. Tony, thank you.
You're welcome.
That's it?
Yeah.
That's all you got? No wonder you never go on the air. Great job all week long. Really enjoyed it. As ever, I always enjoy working with you. You are the best engineer in the business. I mean it. Thank you, brother. Really appreciate it. We'll see you in June. All right. Yeah, 1 minute. I know. All right. Let's see. Also, my thanks to my guests tonight, David Dayan of Fire Dog Lake and Nicole Sandler of Radio or Not. My thanks also to For Earth in the chat room. And if you're listening on MikeMolloy.com, please stay tuned for Head On with Bob Kincaid tonight. Of course, my thanks, as always, to Mike and Kathy Molloy, who I hear will be back right here on these public airwaves next Monday night. America, your long national nightmare is over. Until we meet again, you can find me on the Twitters at the Brad Blog, of course, over at bradblog.com. I've had a great week. Thanks, everybody. Until we see you again, we'll see you over at bradblog.com. Keep it lit, America.